Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mankind Pharma Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Agrawal from Mankind Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to our Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. On the call today, we have Mr. Rajeev Juneja, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sheetal Arora, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Arjun Juneja, Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sanjay Koul, Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Prakash Agarwal, President Strategy. I trust you had the opportunity to review the investor pack we shared earlier today. We will start with opening remarks and an overview of Q1 FY25 from Rajeev Juneja, followed by a detailed insight on the business performance from Mr. Sheetal Arora, and then Mr. Ashutosh Dhawan will be sharing the key financial performance, post which we will leave the forum open for Q&A. I'd like to remind you that some statements made during today's call will be forward-looking. For a detailed disclaimer, please refer to the investor presentation and press release available on our website. Now, I would like to invite Rajeev to share his comments.
Thank you, Abhishek, and good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 25 earnings call. It's great to reconnect just a week after our discussion about the acquisition of 100% stake in BSV Limited. Over the past three decades, our bottom-up strategy has enabled us to grow our reach from smaller towns to major cities, establishing a strong distribution network. By understanding market trends, we gradually ventured into OTC business, where our brands such as Manforce, Prega News are market leaders. This success prompted us to further expand into consumer wellness with products like Acne Star, Health OK, GastroFast, which are also in a dominating position in the market. Our emphasis on consumer healthcare has elevated Mankind Pharma brand and established the company as a well-recognized household name. While we entered the chronic segment in 2004, we introduced our specialty business for diabetes, cardiology, urology, neurology, and respiratory 4-5 years ago to further expand and strengthen our chronic portfolio. Additionally, we acquired Panacea Biotec's transplant and oncology portfolio and have also partnered with leading MNCs for in-licensing of niche and complex products like Symbicort, now Inclisiran, Vonoprazole, Neptaz, etc. This move has bolstered our presence in high entry barrier segment and chronic therapies. Now, our acquisition of Bharat Serum will enable us foray into the super specialty products where entry barriers are very high and having complex and difficult-to-replicate products with less or no competition. Moving ahead with the key highlights for the quarterly performance, during the quarter, we witnessed a steady revenue growth of 12% year-on-year with EBITDA margin of 25.2% adjusted for one-time cost and PAT margins of 19%. This quarter, we have generated cash from our operations of 546 crore rupees with a cash flow from operations to EBITDA ratio of approximately 80%. As of June 30th, 2024, we have a healthy net cash position of 3,747 crore rupees. In terms of secondary sales, we continue to maintain our outperformance to IPM. I'm happy to highlight that now we are the second largest pharma company in terms of sales volume. This quarter, our volume growth was 1.9% versus 0.4% of IPM volume growth, indicating a strong outperformance to IPM. Further, our chronic share has also increased by 120 bps year-on-year to 37%. Our strategic collaborations have bolstered our market presence. For instance, we have launched Inclisiran, a patented injectable in license from Novartis with very high efficacy used for lowering hyperlipidemia, mostly prescribed by super specialty doctors, KOL doctors. This product is priced above Rs. 1 lakh per injection and is positioned as one of the most premium products across our portfolio. Additionally, we have also in-licensed vonoprazone from Takeda, used for acid-related disorders including GRD. Our consumer healthcare business has shown recovery with subsequential growth of 32%, driven by expansion in modern trade, enabling our key brands to maintain their leading position within their respective categories. Further, as part of our stockist consolidation, this is very important, initiatives, in our consumer healthcare business, we have reduced the number of stockists by more than 60% from 6,500. Now, 1,900 stockists, as it is required for any OTC company to work, are contributing over 85% of our sales in consumer side. This will help us channelize our efforts, enhance productivity. As highlighted in the past, we are consistently delivering a high teen EBITDA margins in this business. Revenue from export are up by 62% year on year, driven by increase in our base business, supported by curated new launches. Being an innovative pharmaceutical company, our endeavor is to constantly innovate and develop differentiated products to cater to the unmet needs of the patients. To conclude, I extend my heartfelt gratitude to all of our stakeholders, and now I would like to invite Sheetal to provide more details on our business performance.
Good evening, everyone. Our domestic business revenue increased to 2,634 crore rupees, up by 10% year-on-year excluding OTC in quarter one financial year 25. This growth was driven by an increase in volume and healthy growth in the chronic segment. According to IQVIA, we witnessed a steady secondary sales growth of 10.5% compared to 8.7% IPM growth, representing an outperformance of 1.2 times. As we all know, we have been a volume-focused company. Our strong volume growth during the quarter led to an increase in our market share to 6.1%, up to 20 bps year-on-year. We are now the second largest pharma company by volume in IPM with 23 brand families, each having a revenue of Rs. 100 crore plus in May-June 24. In our chronic segment, we have registered a healthy growth of 14%, surpassing the IPM chronic growth by 1.3 times. Our anti-diabetic and cardiac therapies contributed significantly to this growth, with both segments registering robust growth rates of 21% and 15% respectively. This has resulted in an increase in market share to 5.1% for cardiac and 4.4% for anti-diabetic. In quarter one financial year 25, we launched Symbicort range turbohaler, a world-renowned inhaler with higher efficacy. To further enhance and strengthen our respiratory portfolio, we have witnessed significant growth in its revenue. This aligned with our strategy to expand our presence in high-end, complex, and specialty products. Additionally, the acquisition of BSP strengthened our gynecology portfolio, catering to the entire women's health value chain. BSP has one of the most comprehensive fertility drug portfolio globally, with a presence in 12 out of top 15 molecules. Together, we will be ranked the number one pharmaceutical company with the highest market share in the gynecology segment. In quarter one financial year 25, our dietrogestrone portfolio has also registered a significant growth of 18% year-on-year, resulting in a market share improvement of 82 basis points to 22%. We aspire to be the most preferred choice for all gynecology-related prescriptions. Moving ahead to our consumer healthcare business, during the quarter, we achieved a revenue of 206 crore, up by 32% quarter-on-quarter. As all our digital and other initiatives have largely been implemented, despite increased competition, our targeted marketing campaigns led to sustained leadership positioning of our key brands in their respective categories. Our strategic new launch in the previous quarter, including Ovanews, which helped detect the most fertile period of conceiving, has growth potential similar to the Preganews. During the quarter, our export revenue increased by 62% year-on-year, propelled by an increase in our base business and new launches in the past 12 to 18 months. Our commitment to providing quality products to every citizen of the country has been recognized by the Quality Circle Forum of India, which awarded our API site in Behror, Rajasthan, with 2 gold awards. Additionally, our Sikkim manufacturing site received 1 gold and 1 silver award for CII Institution of Quality. We remain committed to fostering a healthier Bharat by innovating in the market and distinguishing ourselves from our competitors. I will now hand over to Ashutosh ji, who will provide further updates on our financial performance. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Sheetal ji. Good evening, everyone. It's great to have everyone here for our quarter one FY25 earnings call. Today, I will be sharing insight into our financial performance for quarter one FY25. During the quarter, we witnessed a steady growth of 12.2% in our revenue from operations, which increased to rupees 2,893 crores as compared to rupees 2,579 crores in Q1 FY24. Our gross margins have increased to 71.9%, up by 3.7% year-on-year from 68.2% in Q1 FY24. This increase is primarily driven by three factors. Firstly, there is a benefit of 1.5% flowing from sales price increase. Secondly, a favorable sales mix of 0.6%, primarily driven by growth in chronic segment, and the balance 1.6% is towards favorable mix on account of input cost savings as well as certain operational efficiencies. During the quarter, we witnessed a moderate EBITDA growth of 4% with an EBITDA of rupees 686 crores as compared to rupees 660 crores in Q1 FY24. This EBITDA margin decline of 190 basis points to 23.7% is due to higher expense base in this quarter. This is due to one-time M&A related expenses and other non-recurring costs. If we adjust the EBITDA with the non-recurring expenses, our adjusted EBITDA is rupees 728 crores and the adjusted EBITDA margin is 25.2%, which is in line with our guidance of 25 to 26%. The R&D expenses during the quarter were at rupees 48 crores, which is 1.7% of revenue, and they are within our guidance of 2% to 2.5% of sales. In terms of depreciation and amortization expenses, they have increased to rupees 108 crores in Q1 FY25 from rupees 87 crores in Q1 last year due to Udaipur plant getting operationalized in Q2 FY24 and the impact of capitalization of completed projects in the previous three quarters. The effective tax rate for Q1 FY25 is close to 19%, which is in line with our FY24 ETR of 19%. The profit after tax increased to rupees 543 crores, up by 10% year-on-year basis, with diluted EPS of rupees 13.4 per share of rupee 1 paid. The cash EPS, which is EPS adjusted for non-cash items like depreciation and amortization, was at ₹16.1. As you may be aware that we are in the process of subsidiarization of the consumer healthcare business, and the transaction was approved by the board of directors in its last board meeting, and we expect the transaction to get consummated by Q2 of FY25. Accordingly, we are disclosing the profitability of our consumer healthcare business. The operating profit of consumer healthcare business is close to 20%, which is in line with our earlier guidance of high teens operating margin. Our initiatives have started yielding results for the consumer healthcare business, and the same can be observed from the sequential revenue growth of 32% reported in Q1 FY25. However, on year-on-year basis, the growth is flat because of certain carve-out adjustments in the revenue due to subsidiarization in the current quarter. If we remove those adjustments, then year-on-year growth is mid-single digit. Our consistent efforts to enhance our operational efficiency has led to net cash position of ₹3,747 crore as on 30th June 2024. And the sustained operating working capital days of 45 days, which is in line with the operating working capital as at 30th June 23 on trailing 12 months basis. The return on capital employed excluding cash remains consistent at 34% level as of 30th June 24, as well as at 31st March 2024 on a trailing 12 months basis. The return on equity ex-cash remains consistent at 29% level as of 30th June 2024, as well as at 31st March 2024 on a trailing 12 months basis. Our CapEx spend for Q1 FY25 was ₹125 crore, which is approximately 4% of the total revenue, which is in line with our guidance of 5% of revenue, and we expect it to be at the same level. Even in FY24, we had a CapEx spent at 3.8% of the sales. For the fiscal 2025, we are retaining our guidance of EBITDA margin to be in the range of 25 to 26%. With this, we conclude our opening remarks, and now we can proceed to Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, Abhishek.
So we can start with Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
A bit loud. Speak a bit loud.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the... one question on the, you know, EBITDA margin which you disclosed, adjusted EBITDA margin at 25.2%. If I you know, adjust that, our other OPEX line item seems to be a little higher both on the YY and Q&Q basis. If you look at adjusting that non-recurring expenses, our EBITDA, other OPEX as a percentage of sales comes to around 24.8% versus previous quarter it was around 21.8 and 21.4 respectively, YY and Q&Q. So if you can just point out anything which led to a slight a sharper increase in other OPEXs, because it kind of masked whatever gross margin benefit which we got during the quarter, you know.
No, you are absolutely right in your assessment that the benefit of gross margin is getting absorbed by the EBITDA drop. And in this quarter, as if we compare it to the previous quarter, the expenses are high because there is a spike in this quarter as we have launched four new divisions and a certain degree of investment has gone into the same. So that's why there is a bulge in the expenses which is getting reflected in this quarter expenses.
Okay. But do we see this recurring over the fiscal FY25 or how, whether it will normalize over the course of FY25 over the coming quarters?
So this will normalize over the coming quarters. The good part is that in spite of opening up of these four new divisions, if you see the PCPM of the company, that has not dropped. That has increased by 30,000, so which is at 6.8 lakhs, which was 6.5 lakh earlier. So
right.
So we expect it to normalize in the coming quarters.
Sure. And second question was on the BSC. If you, I know we clarified around that. I just had a question on the ROC which you spoke during our previous interaction of the BSC division at around 15 to 16% in FY24. If you can just clarify one part, is that given the reported margins are at 23%, is this the reported ROC profile or adjusted ROC profile with at the 28% EBITDA margin is the business at the core generated?
So thanks, Chintan, for your question. That one is on the adjusted EBITDA margin, 15 to 18%. The way to look at is that we are at 30% plus ROCs. So
right.
We have to look at it when we consolidate with this asset. You have to look at the consolidated ROC, how it pans out. So it would be upwards of 20%, and both the assets we are expecting margin expansion, and more so with BSV since we believe that it is not fully penetrated, not fully optimized, so we see a lot of juice there. So when we see EBITDA margin and cash flow operations improving, your ROC is bound to improve by 100 to 200 basis point at the basic level.
Right, right. And lastly, if I may, and I'll jump back in queue, on the BSV deal as well, the enterprise value of 13,630, if you can provide what is the net debt or net cash on BSV at the time of acquisition or FY24?
So it is a very neutralized position. So we will come back to more details when the closing happens. So we've just signed the agreement. The details
right.
will come out when the closing happens.
Okay, sir. Okay. I'll join back in queue and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing on the BSV debt, I think FY23 that the finance expense for them was really high. So I think it would be good if you can provide some detail as to what is sitting on their balance sheet and how is the PAT for the BSV for FY24.
So I'll give you some color on the fiscal 24 numbers. So if you see, we have given a number of around 28% adjusted. If you see the slide where we had added Mankind plus BSV, so 488 odd crores leading to 28% plus minus margins. So assuming 70% plus will be the cash flow conversion, you can do the maths.
So let me clarify, Kunal. Okay. So because it's basically tip. From the transaction structure, because Advent has done, it was the CCD structure which was there. So because of that, this interest is getting reflected. But as the transaction will get consummated, everything is going to get converted into equity. So that was more of internal debt repayment to the parent. That's why this interest spike is getting reflected.
Sure. So that will reverse once we kind of do it. Okay. I think that was mentioned, right? The callable bonds, etc. What is there in their balance sheet at some point?
Can you speak louder, please?
That structure has it changed drastically in FY24, or whatever we see in FY23 is what kind of continued, and we will change it once we acquire it.
So Once we acquire, the whole structure is going to get converted into equity, and those equity will be acquired by us.
Okay.
So it will be a plain, simple vanilla buyout.
Sure. And one more question I had, since we have seen good traction in chronic therapies now, we are almost at par with the market level penetration in terms of chronic, right? Market is at 38%, we are at 37%. Would you be able to quantify the kind of EBITDA margin difference between our chronic business versus the acute business now?
No. So it's basically a mixed up, Kunal, that we don't track EBITDA. We only track it at the particular level, but not at the EBITDA level, the acute versus chronic, because in some of the divisions, MR is promoting both the products. So it's difficult to do a segmentation at that level.
But it's fair to assume that obviously the gross margins are much higher in chronic.
Correct. And what that difference would be in the gross margin between chronic and acute for you?
So it has increased up to 15% now, yeah.
Despite we launching the DMF grade API just second?
Yeah.
Sure. And on the DMF grade API, I think we had a plan to launch around 1200 SKUs. And we had done some 325 maybe till last quarter. So where are we on that now?
So last quarter we have announced that we have done approx 150 DMF filings. This quarter we are close to 160.
Okay. And sir, in terms of SKUs, how would it mean? Because there will be multiple SKUs, right?
We are not splitting by SKUs.
Sure. And the last one, if I may. We have done a lot of in-licensing deals, starting with Neptaz, etc. What would be the contribution of these in-licensed products for us over the last 12 months? A rough number is fine. Don't need exact.
See, the first one happened in 22-23, so the contribution has just started. The idea is to get the foot in the door of the specialty doctors. While the sales are growing at 30-40% or even more, but it is on a small base. But it gives a lot of synergy benefits of our core portfolio also. So you have to see that in entirety. But coming back to your question, on a small base, it is still growing at 30-40% plus.
Okay, but is it fair to assume it would be single-digit contribution as of now?
Not even a 1%.
No, it is fairly less at the moment, and it will not be a correct reflection of that because these in-licensing deals have been done at a different point of time. So they have not been for the whole year so that the real basis can be drawn from or inference can be drawn from the same. So maybe after a year or so, we would be in a position. But at this stage, it will not give the correct reflection of things.
So major reason of these in-license deals basically is what Advantage to Mankind is. We get, intangible hike in reputation of Mankind, one. And wherever we basically our endeavor were to really enter those high-end doctors, high-end hospitals, we get welcome over there, foot in the door. That's a major thing. That's the reason, we basically want to enter difficult to make or high entry barrier or license, where instead of 30-40 competitors, we have 2-3 competitors. So we just want to enter that market and attain some kind of a position over there, because tomorrow more products will come. So it's like acclimatizing yourself, your field for that kind of a environment.
Sure. So that then you can cross-sell your existing portfolio, which is anyway high margin, and can bring that synergies, right?
Yes.
Sure. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Ashutosh sir, on the gross margin, most of the factors that you mentioned, sales mix can change, seemed very sticky. Obviously I understand there is seasonality in the business. Adjusted for that, is it fair to assume that this level of gross margin is sustainable for Mankind?
That's a good question, Neha. So We would say that 70% would be the fair assumption to assume it around 70% level, because 1.6, which is coming from the input cost saving, that's a timing difference which could it's not in our control, to be honest, and mm-hmm. because of the capacity utilization and all, so this time the margin is higher. But from the sustainability point of view, we are more confident or comfortable with 70% gross margin level.
So Neha, just to add, if you're doing from modeling purpose, 70% is good, but at the same time, as one of the participants asked on the cost side, so we do expect cost to normalize. So you will see the cost going down and there's a corresponding effect on the EBITDA.
No, that is understood. I was just trying to get clarification because the margins had improved so much, so I just wanted to get a sense there. My second question, on the BSV deal, the 16% growth that we had mentioned, right, adjusted for their acquisition and COVID, if you were to break that up between international business and domestic, what would be, the growth, let's say, in the domestic business and international? Because I think the international growth that you've mentioned is in constant currency, but on a reported basis, what would that growth be?
Yeah, so we have given a growth of around 17%, that would be India, 16 to 17%, and 25% plus is around 25% in constant currency is the growth for international business.
So the reported is also in the same range?
Reported is actually tad better.
Oh, it's tad better. Okay.
Because of the TDK acquisition, it is a tad better.
No. So the 17%, the 16% growth is excluding TDK, right?
It's actually 17% pro forma. So on that, there's about 9% volume, 6-7% price, 1-2%, 1% here and there. So new product is about 1-2%. So it's not 16, it's 17%. And pro forma growth that we had given in the presentation pack is 21%.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, Raju sir, first at the industry level, we are seeing this volume growth remaining quite muted. Even FY23, hardly 0%, even FY24.9 or even FY25 to be like 0.9%. So this shift towards trade generics, so will that sort of, further reduce the overall industry growth for next, let's say, 3 to 4 years? If you could, share some comment on this.
See, it's a mixture of things. One basically is that seasonality also plays a role, because whatever unit growth comes, there is always a contribution of antibiotics or acute side of the business as well. Yes, you're right as well. Some kind of a stress is there from generic kind of a players as well. It's a mixture of things.
Yeah, just to add,
there is one more issue which we need to take into account, that 6% contribution of modern trade is not being captured by IQVIA. That is why there is under reflection of volume growth as per IQVIA is concerned.
No. So I meant to refer the prescription side of the overall market. So there probably the industry growth, is getting much more moderated to, the way it is, like, it seems over next 3 to 4 years, it could go down to 6% or so.
You see, try to understand one more thing, that whenever prescription comes from the hospital, it is not being maybe tracked. And one more thing is there, that hospital side, patients are more than general practitioners. Wherever you see, you go to a hospital, you find more patients. Otherwise, in normal clinics, when season comes, then you see a good number of patients. That is also an impact.
Understood, sir. Secondly, as far as the Metro Tier 1 share is concerned for Mankind, despite good number of niche product being added, the chronic share being rising, the Metro Tier 1 share is remaining still stable for last 2-3 years. Just to understand if I'm missing anything.
See, our metro and class 1 share is around 53%. Yeah, so there is still scope for improvement. The good thing is that both metro town 1, we are growing at much better pace as compared to IPM growth. So we are bridging the gap between IPM, contribution of metro and class 1 and Mankind.
And Tushar, if you see last 4 year growth of metro, IPM is close to 10 to 12%, but IPM growth is somewhere in the range of 11 to 20% for metros.
Mankind.
For Mankind metro. So
how
you may refer
our
presentation. For Mankind, it's in the range of 11 to 20%. You can refer last quarter presentation where we have highlighted that our metro share has increased from 51 to 55% in last 4 years.
Okay.
Chronic metro share.
Okay. Then that's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Joshi from SK Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, Sumit.
Hello. Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Sir, I'm just asking a very high-level question, maybe from a 2 to 3 years, the way we want to grow a product strategy, right, after the acquisition. Is there something big picture which we are planning that you can give some guidance that will help me to understand better?
See, I mean, the big picture basically is what? Look at the history of Mankind. 5 points were there always in our head. First was bottom-up approach. Second was our OTC business. Third was making Mankind brand a household brand. Next was chronic side. After that, we entered into super specialty, and then now super specialty. So it's like, I mean, completing the pyramid, coming to the high end of the pyramid, and ensuring that we are in every side of the pharma market and growing at the fastest pace. And hopefully, I mean, they will do fantastic. Because going forward, as number of times these questions keep coming that there is a stress because of generic, because what we basically see generally whenever you bring some product or one product which basically comes out of patent, 40, 50, 100 competitors come immediately. And our intentions of taking this BSV is what? That we should be in complex business, we should be difficult to make products, we should be in high entry barrier products, where advantage is either you are alone, either you have some kind of a monopoly, or one or two competitors, that's plus side, you can command the prices, you have more EBITDA margin. That basically is our hopes, keeping those planning in mind. We have just acquired this company. And what we basically hope, we have said a number of times, this business will multiply in coming future.
Okay. Thank you.
We're very,
thank
very
you
happy, very confident
you.
That this is a fantastic buying of Mankind. I mean, nothing can be better than this one because everything fits very, very well in Mankind. Look from any angle, every corner, whether the consumer side, I mean, Osupan or Lactair. Whether it's a patent product, anti-D, high entry barrier, whether you look at this Thymogam, again 100% market share, some antibites, we have 98% share, or in infertility, we have one or two competitors. It's an amazing kind of a, we feel, I mean, we've done a fantastic job by acquiring this. Absolutely confident, absolutely sure about this business.
Yeah, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. And we are always the proud shareholder of Mankind. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Doshi from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. Are we expecting any more merger-related cost in the next quarters?
Yeah. So the transaction has started in a way at the end of the last quarter. So we have, so there will be certain merger related costs which will be coming in Q2 as well.
So just to be clear, Nikunj, the cost that you are seeing in Q1 is related to the transaction that we saw in Q1.
Okay. So this larger transaction, what we are doing, will be further.
That will be in Q2.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And
yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Just on this, the BSV growth split between India and international, I probably misunderstood it. Total growth is 16% adjusted for the acquisition. And then we are seeing India grew at 16 and international was better than 25. So,
if you see the presentation, we have given a 21% CAGR growth. We are giving a split of India and international, which is India is 17%. And international is 25% dollar term growth.
Okay. So 21% is not adjusted for TTK. So TTK is more in that international bucket.
No. TTK is a domestic business. So what has happened is, why we have given pro forma numbers, there is a volatility due to the COVID-related products and the TTK-related products. So we have neutralized that. If you see on a reported like-to-like basis, growth is actually 24%. But we wanted to give a pro forma numbers for the right reflection for future. Does that help?
But the COVID would have also positively impacted, right, during the initial phase.
No, but then there are spikes and there are peaks and valleys, right? So one year you will see a spike, then the other year it will go down. So we have removed the volatility.
But in CAGR, you will only look at the first and the last year, right? The spike will not...
Yeah, so 21 will see higher, right? Because of the COVID year?
Correct. 21 also, there were lockdowns. So, difficult to understand. Can you help us with a slightly larger, longer-term growth rate for the BSV?
So we have called out that the growth will be in the region of 15 to 20% is what we believe. It can be even better. I mean, this is our initial assessment. And we have also called out that we look at margins around 30% plus and to improve year on year.
So if you look at the audited reported CAGR, that is 23%. And the adjusted is 21% adjustment for the COVID.
Okay. And one question on the overall market, in response to the previous answer, you said the 6% of the modern trade is not getting reflected in IQVIA. My question is, how fast that 6% is growing? Since it is not getting reflected, what are we missing from the IPM growth? And what is our exposure to that modern trade channel now? I think we had a good quarter, a couple of quarters back or something. So are we like now, under-index, over-index, or we are properly indexed with respect to that 6% of the market?
So as per my understanding, 6% contribution comes in IPM from modern trade that is having growth that there is no channel to give us the correct growth, but as per different sources, the growth comes to around 15%. So as per Mankind is concerned, our contribution from modern trade is around
4%. So still there is scope for us to kind of spend more, penetrate more in the channel. And one question on the Panacea acquisition that we had done, right? How is that, it is some time that we have been with this business. How has that kind of grown, what we have seen in terms of, the improvements in terms of profitability, any synergies that we have seen? If you can provide some update there, it would be good.
So Panacea business has really, I mean, panned very, very well. On one side, again, super specialty business. When we acquired Panacea, the thoughts were same, absolutely same kind of thoughts. Transplant business, super specialty, difficult to enter, one. That is doing very good. Glyzade, anti-diabetic, more than 100 crore rupees brand now. And apart from this, Sitcom is this patent product that we acquired. So all in all, the Panacea business must be growing at a pace of 20-25% right now.
33% plus in terms of profitability also. Even though Panacea has been fully submerged into all the divisions wherever there were synergies were there, but on a very broad basis, the EBITDA margin is also close to 30% coming out of that the products of Panacea.
And if you extrapolate Panacea by many times, this would be Bharat Serum even better.
Yeah.
And we remember very well when Panacea was acquired, I mean, people were saying it's expensive, this and that, but we knew our business.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you on that. And one for Ashutosh. On the R&D expense, it seems lower for this quarter, right? So do we expect to ramp up, or do we see that, you know, R&D expense overall would be more or less flat for FY25 over FY24?
So we would like to retain the guidance of close to 2%, because R&D is mainly driven from some of the project related and the testing related expenses. So there are sometimes some spikes here and there, but by and large, as a rule of thumb, expect it to be around 2% level.
So it should see similar growth as to our top line, more or less, in FY25. Last year was 2.2%, I guess. So.
Yeah, so this time also it will be in that vicinity only.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prashant Kothari from Pictet AMC. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. The first question is on this BSV acquisition itself. In terms of funding for it, I understand you have not kind of properly finalized. But just looking at the overall numbers, it seems that if you were to apply that discipline of 2x net debt to EBITDA, if you were to just kind of wait until the FY26 end, then you would already be kind of in that limit, even if you don't dilute. So just wanting to understand how you're kind of thinking about need for equity dilution versus maybe waiting a bit so that it's not needed actually.
Yeah, so the rough broad maths could be thought like this, that we are looking to fund this, as Rajivji mentioned on the Friday call, that around 4,000 crores could be used approximately from the internal accruals. So we are, from the remaining, the majority would be a mix of debt and equity, and the majority would be debt. But we believe, since we've always been conservative company, there will be a requirement of equity, which could be in the region of about 30%.
Right, so 4,000 crores internal accruals you'll have in the next 2 years, plus you have 35 crores of net cash.
So by the around closing, we would be having that kind of cash. So we would be using that cash to pay upfront, that's one. The remaining that we are required to pay, which will be a mix of debt and equity, majority will be by debt. Given the cash flows that we have, we believe that we'll be able to take majority of it is debt. But since we want to have a lighter balance sheet, we don't want to leverage significantly. And as per our guidance of debt to EBITDA of not exceeding 2x, we think that we would be looking at plus minus 30% of equity risk. And that would be around closing.
Okay. So the EBITDA you're looking for that calculation is of FY25 itself.
Can you repeat?
On a combined basis. The EBITDA that you are using for that, calculating
25 and 26 and on a conservative basis we are calculated. So obviously business could give bit better returns, but these assumptions are based on conservative estimates of Mankind as well as BSV.
Understood. And sir, the second question was on market growth differential between the kind of metro tier one versus the rest, which is more rural, semi-urban. How much is the differential these days? Has it changed versus the past?
So if we talk about IPM versus Mankind, so Q on Q basis, quarter Q basis, rural has, as per IPM, has grown by 6.7%. Mankind is growing by 10.3%. And town one is growing by 10.4% as per IPM is concerned, and Mankind is growing by 12.7%. Metro and town one in total is growing by 9.3% as per IPM is concerned, and Mankind is growing by 10.6%.
So rural as per IPM is growing the slowest. Why is that happening, and is that just recent or that has been the trend in last few quarters also?
So FY24 as well, rural has shown a growth of 5.9%. So this quarter has been better as per FY24 is concerned.
Yeah, but it is growing slower versus the overall market. So just trying to understand what is happening there in terms of the overall pharma sales, so, not for you, but for the industry.
So rural usually the growth you see whenever season, there's a seasonal impact because rural market is all about acute segment rather than chronic segment. So last year, the acute season came very late in the month of October only. That is why we had muted performance of acute segment overall in the year, and it impacted the rural growth.
Shant, if I can add, if you see the number of doctors who are available, the number of chronic diseases which are growing faster in the market and acute is happening more so in the metro and tier 1 cities. So the growth share in metros and tier 1 is higher versus rural.
Okay, which is what I was trying to kind of think of, whether it is that the companies are not making enough efforts, or is it just about the doctor population? Wherever they grow, the market grows. How should it
again happen? Prashant, India is a land of many cities, towns. Rural is like rural, and then above rural it would be again segmented into three sub buckets. So what, so the first bucket is metro and town one, the second bucket is town one and town two, which is tier one and tier two cities, and then there is a third bucket above rural, which is town two to town four. So this is split again, you know, into four big buckets, and rural is a part of it. So metro and tier one is totally where everybody is really focused on, and I think we, as Rajiv ji mentioned, we have always gone bottoms up. So we started with actually not rural, but town two to town four, and then we have picked to tier one cities, and now metro and tier one. So it is bottoms up for us.
And to add to Prakash's point, because of the lifestyle changes, the chronic diseases are more prevalent. And because of the hygienic, people are in rural area, people are more aware about hygiene, cleanliness, drive. So that's why acute is going less, and people are, that way you've seen the growth of chronic is more, even in IPM also.
Interesting. And sir, just the last question, of our growth, how much is pricing?
Sorry? The growth because of pricing is 5.8%. Our volume growth is 1.9%. And growth because of price increase is 5.8%. And growth because of new products is 2.7%.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gagan Tharija from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Sir, I have one question pertaining to, you know, the split of the acquired asset value of BSC into fixed tangible assets, intangibles, and goodwill? If you could give a broad rough split, that would be very helpful.
So yeah, Gagan, so this is an extensive exercise which will be carried out closing, at the time of closing and after closing. But just to give you a sense, since it's a high entry barrier and a niche asset, the majority of the allocation will be towards the intangible side. Close to around 60 to 70% would be the portion which may get allocated towards the intangibles.
When you say intangibles, I mean, because, you know, intangibles would include patents, trademarks, plus goodwill. I'm presuming that is how it is. So, you know, from the perspective of depreciation and amortization, it's going to be trademarks and patents, you know, which will be amortized. Goodwill will not figure there. So I'm just trying to understand that split further down.
Correct. So goodwill will not be getting amortized, but intangibles in terms of technical know-how, trade, brands which are coming with this, and plus some other intangibles will also come, customer relationship, etc. So all those things will be getting amortized over a period. So how much will that period will be and the exact quantum of that intangible, that is subject to expert valuation. But from the broad indicative point of view, it will be closer to 60% odd, the intangibles, and the balance would be towards the goodwill. But this number may get highly likely to get changed once the proper PPE exercise is carried out by the experts.
Right. And Rajiv sir, I think in your interview to Business Standard have indicated that BSV sales could touch 5,000 crore sort of mark in the next 3 to 4 years. To whatever degree possible, would you be able to explain, you know, how you think you can bring this about? What could be the broad contours of the strategy here?
Sometimes journalists are also very, very enthusiastic. They basically add some kind of a flavor. The expectations are very, very high from this company. I said basically 4 or 5 years. He wrote down 3 or 4 years. Understand the point. In some of the categories, there is no competition. Just example. NDID is one product which in India, approximately 5 to 7% ladies who want to be mother are RS negative, right? And that is approximately 90 lakh to 1.2 crore. But how many injections are being sold right now? 9 lakh. So right now the coverage is, penetration is only 10%. If we increase the penetration to 20%, the market can grow double, say 30% more. It's a matter of just propagating it, matter of just making sure that people have this kind of a knowledge. I'm just example. And they have patent on this product till 2028. And also, in a number of countries, other countries as well, same is the situation. So this company comes with a very high entry barrier products. One. The second basically is what? Just look around yourself. Which particular segment is growing fastest? Infertility. You go in bigger towns, smaller towns, every place, every gynecologist wants to open a fertility clinic. That is one area which is growing very, very fast because of urbanization, because of women empowerment, because late marriages, a lot of reasons are there, right? So you see, from any angle, this company has all the plus sides. Tailwinds are complexities are there. Difficult to make products are there, patent products are there. So this way we expect, this company can grow a lot. Very, 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 very optimistic.
Thanks, that's all from my side. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity once again. On the export side, if you look at the growth has been pretty as well on a high base. Do you see the run rate of the current quarter can sustain, or do you see as quarter progresses, we will see some softness? At least the rate of growth can taper a bit low going forward. How do you see the exports panning out?
See, because of the low base last year quarter, so growth is high, seeing high in this quarter. But as always maintained in the commentary, that Mankind business would mostly focus in domestic. Almost 90% plus business would be of domestic only.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the 15, mid-teen growth which we gave, that is what we should work with.
No, I think that the growth will continue. For an export side, the growth of quarter on quarter will continue as what has been guided so far.
Okay. And one clarification you mentioned on the deal, 30% equity is on the deal size. The 30% figure you mentioned sometime in the previous commentary.
Can you repeat your question?
On the BHV deal side, you mentioned something around the 30% figure for the equity part, the fresh equity part. Is the correct understanding?
No, somebody had asked the question around how would the funding look like, because everything is subject to closing. So I was, you know, we have received many calls and emails from analysts trying to understand for modeling purpose how to think about it of the asset. We are just little bit, you know, modeling ourselves that around 4,000 crores would be funded through internal accruals. That is the cash that we would have in the books by the time the closing happens.
Right.
Okay, the remaining would be a mix of debt and equity.
Okay. Of
out
debt,
of that, the majority will be debt, and the remaining, which we believe could be done with around 30%. Again, this could be changed subject to closing, but this is our initial assessment.
Right, right, right. Okay, okay. Got it, got it. Thank you. Thank you, and all the very best.
Okay, thank you.
That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, and please feel right to us for any further clarification or information. Have a nice day.
On behalf of Mankind Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.